Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
All right, let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between along for the ride is the Thursday night throwdown. Let's do this thing as the Toronto Maple Leafs get thrown down. An epic collapse. Deja vu all over again. The Columbus Blue Jackets bang back from a 3-0 deficit and overtake the Toronto Maple Leafs in overtime 4-3. The Leafs have less than 24 hours to get over it, and if they don't, they're going to be eliminated once again, as Leaf Nation is in a panic right now, as they've seen this movie before. This is like the sequel, part 6, part 7. And when you're going all the way back to 1967, then I understand why the frustration is starting to kick in. For the record, I am not a Toronto Maple Leaf fan. I am a diehard Toronto Raptor fan, but I'm not a Leaf fan. But even I feel like kind of sick after watching that meltdown, probably because I had money on them. Yeah, you know what? Come to think of it, yes, it's because I had money on them. You know what? Like, the Toronto Maple Leafs, they're a lot like the Philadelphia 76ers. They've got a bunch of star players. You know, oh, it's this process. They're growing. And, you know, what are they growing? They're growing old. They're growing older without winning. That's what's growing right now. So the Toronto Maple Leafs, they've got trouble. And for the love of God, they're playing on their home ice as well, similar to the Edmonton Oilers, who are another story, another Canadian choke job going on in the National Hockey League playoffs right now. NBA bubble. We've got trouble in the bubble. And the Los Angeles Lakers, trouble in paradise right now with LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't know what it is. All I know is it's real enough that it's gone public right now, in the sense that LeBron James says we've got problems and we better figure it out. And it's not on the court. Like, we've got issues off the court. Vogel's talking about there's a problem that they better like put out immediately. I have no idea what it is. I don't know. Let's speculate. Let's have fun. I blame Dwight Howard. I'm blaming Dwight Howard. But the Lakers, yeah, the Lakers got issues, all right? Lakers getting beat up on a nightly basis in a bubble, too. Sports Rage Late Night, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
I'm a rageaholic. I just can't live without rageahol.
Sports Rage late night. I'm Morenci. Pulling it down Thursday night throwdown edition of the program. National Hockey League playoffs continuing. The Vancouver Canucks get it done earlier in the day against the Minnesota Wild. The Columbus Blue Jackets bang back from a 3-0 deficit. John Tortorella, psychopath coach, getting all the credit because, you know, he chewed out a player. And, you know, but so John Tortorella, like, rips Dubois on the bench. And Dubois gets, like, a hat trick tonight. And it's like, oh, so Tortorella, the coach, is getting credit because, oh, you know, he motivated him. That's as stupid as the episode of The Simpsons when Daryl Strawberry's on the nuclear plant's softball team and he hits like 8 home runs and Mr. Burns says, I told him to do that. That's good managing. Hey, Strawberry, hit a home run. It's like, whatever. Tortorella yells at everybody, all right? So we'll get into the pucks. We'll get into the bubble trouble, Los Angeles Lakers trouble in paradise. Big man on campus will join us in level 2. Let's send it to Las Vegas, Nevada. Right now, our main man, straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada, Ted, Sportsbook and Casino in the house. Private, though. Private. Teddy steps up for that. What's going on, Ted?
Morenci. As soon as you bring up that Simpsons reference, I just want to go, Daryl.
He starts crying.
Yeah. That's like the most memorable part of the episode.
That's great, though.
Who had the giant head?
The giant head, the massive, Ken Griffey Jr. It's a great episode. You got yourself a player. Hey, Mike Socha, you want to work in a power plant? You got yourself a player. It's a great episode. So, yeah, great to catch up with you, Teddy. So you and I often talk about quotes and, you know, actually paying attention to what players say. Pay attention to what coaches say. So what do you make of this? Pretty ominous right now. LeBron James says there's some things off the floor that he can't control that's possibly affecting the team right now. He wouldn't reveal what it was. Frank Vogel says there's some stuff going on in the room that they need to figure out. Now, talk about ominous, Teddy. What's going on? Like, normally, like incarcerated Bob or somebody on Twitter would have the down low, you know, somebody slept with somebody, something like normally there's a leak, Teddy. Like there's some rumor. Well, this is what really happened. And the mainstream will never bring it up, but everybody online knows. I got nothing, Teddy, on this. What's your take? What's going on?
So two things to say here. One is that you bring in Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith and all of a sudden the team chemistry goes south. Gee, really? You know, I mean, talk about two guys with a long and storied history. They're not like J.R. Smith doesn't have a lot of teammates that love him, but J.R. Smith disrupted the chemistry in multiple places where he's been at times, and so has Deion. So you bring in those two guys. And
how about Dwight Howard?
Maybe. Sure, who's that's supposed, exactly a third guy.
Who's walking around the compound, and he's been the most reported player, and he admits it. He goes, oh, everyone snitches me out every day. There's been like, I don't know. I can't even keep up how many complaints about Dwight Howard. He refuses to wear a mask. Like, he won't wear a mask. He's an anti-vaxxer. Like, I know, like, for a fact, like I said, the snitch hotline's been lighting up about Dwight Howard. And I don't think it's that, but I don't know, Teddy. I mean, no, okay, so, you know, we have this little drama that I'm sure eventually it'll leak what it is. But then we just have the reality of this as well, in which they're kind of a two-man operation. How about this? The Lakers are a combined 7-56, Teddy, from three the last two games. 7-56.
But that's exactly why we don't overreact. All right. we're still what? There's still four games from the start of the playoffs. Okay, this is like mid-April or early April basketball right here.
I know.
For LA.
I know.
They've clinched the number one seed, and you let everybody else overreact. Oh my God, Lakers chemistry. You tell me that we're hearing reports like this and they're shooting like this when the postseason begins, and we'll have another discussion. But for right now, I'm going to look at most of this. Now, it's not like I'm dying to bet on the Lakers here in the bubble. I haven't. I haven't bet on them once yet, and I'm really glad that's been the case by and large. But I'm not looking at this team as, all right, when the playoffs start, the Lakers are an auto fade. No way.
Yeah.
You know, they're working things out. That's what they say they're doing, and I believe that they're actually doing what they say that they're doing, despite the fact they do have three known chemistry disruptors on the team, and that's just the guys I'm thinking off the top of my head. I mean, there's probably more.
Yeah, and we don't know behind the scenes. Yeah, plus, you know, LeBron, not a disruptor, but obviously the light in the room as well. I mean, things are going to revolve around him, and then you got AD in here, dude. AD can be flaky too. God knows, bro. You got agents. Like, I don't know. Like we said, we don't know. But I agree. I'm not ready to completely write them off in the big picture or anything. But what do you make, Teddy? Put it this way. What do you make of this? Spencer Dinwiddie, who not a member of the media, and Spencer's got a great Twitter follow. Spencer Dinwiddie says, he just tweeted out. He goes, I'll tell you what. The Lakers don't want any part of Damian Lillard and the Blazers in the first round. The way the Blazers are heating up right now. Are you buying into that the Blazers could give the Lakers a run?
I think that absolutely I'm buying in that the Blazers could give the Lakers a series. I don't know if they could beat them, but I do think they could give them a series. And that has everything to do with the fact that Portland, should they make the 8th seed, is a pretty darn good 8th seed, you know? And the reason they're an 8th seed is because they were, you know, their entire front court was hurt for the whole year, and now their front court is healthy for the postseason. And they were in the Western Conference Finals last year, and they were able to win a Game 7 on the road in Denver to get to the Western Conference Finals of last year. And Dame Lillard's certainly not an easy stop for anyone when he's hitting, and the Blazers certainly look like a motivated team in the bubble. So I do think they have the potential to give someone like the Lakers trouble, but that's Portland's got to get there first. You know, they're a long way. When you look at the Western Conference standings, for as good as the Blazers have the potential to be, I'm still not convinced that they're going to come away with it.
You buying in? How about this team? Yeah, well, at the 8th seed, I don't know, Teddy. Like, there's like six teams. Like, what are they going to do? Is they going to have a play into a play into a play into a play into a play in? Like, I was just,
it's
just
eight versus nine. That's all we got.
Yeah, I know. So,
but
Phoenix is not giving up right now. And, you know,
nope.
All right, you win one or two in a row. They're up to four in a row right now, Teddy, and their confidence is growing.
The Spurs are saying the same thing. The Kings are saying the same thing. And even the Pelicans, off a disappointing loss today, are saying the same thing. Between them, okay, between Portland, who's right now in the 9 seed, and New Orleans, who's in the, 13 seed, there's two games separating them, and we have to think that this 0-4 Memphis run is not an anomaly. Did the Grizzlies win a game? So that means maybe two of these teams get up and in. But the Kings win today makes them a lot liver than they looked 2 days ago.
The Toronto Raptors are starting to get some love right now, Teddy, due to their defensive play. We're seeing, like, they're pretty much the only team in the NBA in the bubble that's really sort of balling on D. And we're seeing, you know, everybody's playing track meet style basketball right now in the bubble. And then there was Milwaukee, sort of similar to the Lakers. People are sort of seeing, you know, they're poking the armor a little bit right now at the Bucks. Oh, I don't know, like after that 19-point game. You know, and it was a great point that, as you stated too, everyone was all excited to get into the bubble. All right, you know, they're playing and stuff. And I thought the same thing as you, Teddy. It's like, in reality, these games are like with like three games left in a regular season. They're getting angry. They're not really playing for real. They got to play the game. Let's just get it over with and get to the playoffs, right? And I'm sure Milwaukee is thinking that too. But, you know, is Milwaukee the team to beat in the East, in your opinion, or is it the Toronto Raptors? We got 30 seconds,
yes.
So quick on that. We'll take a break. The Bucks are still the team to beat?
That's the answer. The answer is Milwaukee or Toronto comes out of the East.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's any room for anybody else. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it feels like they're on a collision course.
Yeah. So I'll punt the question.
Teddy's punting. All right. Normally I don't allow it, but since we're going to a break, it's a fair game, fair catch. Or Teddy covers on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Shout out to our crew in Master Control, Midtown Manhattan. Great job. Smooth. Smooth so far. A lot smoother than Lakers ride in the bubble. Teddy Covers, a.k.a. Ted Savransky, joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada, sportsmemo.com. In the house, big man on campus will join us a little bit later on in level two. We're talking NBA basketball right now. And, you know, some of these teams trying to crash into the playoffs. The East is a little bit different, but the biggest upset in 27 years, Teddy, what did you make of that the other day as the Brooklyn Nets win outright, getting 19.5 points?
I made of it that it was a really bad line, and if it was in mid-season form, the odds makers were in mid-season form and the bettors were in mid-season form, we never would have seen a line like that, and it should have been that upset. And I don't think in recent memory, I've only been back betting for a couple of weeks, but certainly since the break, I haven't been madder at myself for missing a bet than that, because that was low hanging fruit. The Bucks couldn't have been, you know, the Bucks weren't interested, and we see it, and you can't lay 18 in that. I don't care what the matchup is, you can't lay 18 in that. But as soon as you see that point spread, you got to go no, because no one can be laying 18 in that bubble.
What if they play each other in the playoffs? What are they going to do? They're going to go back to the same numbers? Going to be 16, 14 and a half, I guess, or 14 and a half, 15.
So the whole point. Okay. So my power number for the game with the Nets healthy was, I think it was 10 or 10 and a half. All right. But then Caris LeVert was sitting and Joe Harris was sitting.
Joe Harris.
And yeah. Was Jared Allen, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So it was basically their best three players. We're all sitting. And they moved it, but you can't, the answer is you can't lay 18.5 in the bubble. You just can't do it. It was a bad line and I missed it. And you don't get those opportunities every day. I should have had it on the money line, to be perfectly honest.
I'm still buying in, Teddy, to Oklahoma City. I like them. I like the makeup of this team. I think they're real. I'm buying into the Clippers as well. I think the Clippers are the team to beat in the Western Conference. But if we're talking about that third team, I can make an argument for Oklahoma City. They're 4.5-point favorites over the Grizzlies overnight line right now. Sacramento -4 over the Brooklyn Nets. Philadelphia lose Ben Simmons. They're 4.5-point favorites over the Orlando Magic. The Pelicans -6 over the Washington Wizards. It seems like every crappy team in the NBA is playing tomorrow. Oh, and then we get the Raptors and the Celtics. Big one. Raptors -3. Raptors haven't technically wrapped up the two seed yet they're on the verge of it right now. And, you know, listen, let's talk about this game. And let's talk about the Raptors a little bit. What's your take on this team? They play a different style of basketball than everybody in the league, Teddy. They play defense. They contest shots. And, you know, I saw the numbers, the stats of the three games of what they're doing to teams. And they're terrorizing people. Like, nobody's shooting. Everyone's shooting, like, 29%. It's like three teams are averaging 29% from three. Teams are averaging, like, 23 turnovers a game against these guys. The Raptors are relentless right now. Nick Nurse alters their style all the time. Like, they, you know, they'll play different styles of basketball, and it looks like their approach in the bubble, Teddy, is going to be, you know what? We're playing defense, and we're gonna defend every shot that you try to make.
So Toronto's a one-way team for me. If I'm not betting on the Raptors, I'm not involved in the game. From every quote, even coming down there. Toronto still hasn't gotten the respect for the defending NBA champs deserve. And all right, I understand Kawhi left in the offseason. I understand Danny Green left in the offseason. And I understand that they've had injuries all year, and they still won. Well, they're at 49 games right now. They're about to be at 50 because they're chalked tomorrow. So the math says they're supposed to be there. First of all, I thought a lot over the break about what the right is, who the team is to beat in the East, because, you know, Milwaukee's been the juggernaut all year, but they led Toronto 2-0, and Toronto's won the last four playoff games between those two teams. So maybe it is the Raptors are the team to beat in the East. And when you see, I mean, I catch a ticket with Milwaukee tonight, and certainly, you know, I'm not going to look at a 20-0 fourth quarter run down the stretch. in the mouth say, oh, well, I didn't deserve that. I mean, it was a Bucks spot, and it played out like that down the stretch of that ball game. But Milwaukee, still, there's some fears that I have that they're a regular season team and not a playoff team. And then Toronto's a proven playoff team. So for tomorrow against Boston, first of all, that number's higher than mine. You know, it came out 3. My number on the game's only 1. So I don't think I'll be taking Toronto tomorrow unless the number goes down. And 2, I don't necessarily love it feels a little bit more like a Celtic spot, and that's what's paying off in the bubble right now, is getting the team, you know, if you get a team, a quality team off a subpar showing, they've been pretty good bets the next time out. And Boston's certainly a quality team, and they're not coming off their best game, to put it mildly. So, and the number's higher than I thought it was going to. And Toronto's a one-way team for me. And you put those four factors together, it's a long roundabout way of me saying I'm passing the game. And maybe I do think the Raptors are the team to beat. So I'll give you that credit as a Raptors fan, Gabe. You get to root for them, and they're the team to beat. How's that?
One thing I will say. It's interesting. The Boston Celtics and the Raptors, incredibly competitive rivalry, all right? They just haven't really played in the playoffs in a big spot, so it hasn't been in a showcase. But in a regular season, they can't win on each other's home courts. And, like, it's real. Like, the Boston Celtics lost, like, 13 consecutive times in Toronto, and then they actually smacked them on Christmas Day. The Raptors finally get a Christmas Day game as the defending champions, and they lost to the Boston Celtics. And the Raptors had lost like 7 in a row in Boston or something. And they played like 3 days after Christmas in Boston, and the Raptors tattooed them, right? They got them back for the Christmas Day. The Raptors were a little soft on Christmas Day that morning. It was the early game. So I'm just curious to see how it plays out on a neutral court, Teddy. Because honestly, I think the Celtics and the Raptors, if they played in the playoffs, it would be a battle. I think the Raptors would beat them, but, you know, the Celtics are a strange team. I mean, do you buy into the Celtics? I do and I don't, but ultimately I don't. You know, ultimately I don't. I know they're good, but it seems to me like in crunch time, I don't really trust them. They're kind of inconsistent to me, but they are a dangerous team. I'm not discounting them.
So in the East, you clearly have Milwaukee and Toronto that are going to make the final four. I would be shocked if one of those two teams got upset in the first round. When you talk about the next four, only two of them are going to make it out: Boston, Miami, Indiana, Philly. Philly without Simmons, you know, Philly the way they're playing defense, they So, like, to me, I'm more concerned about the Sixers' struggles in the bubble than I am about the Lakers' struggles in the bubble, because Philly's got something in theory to play for, and now they just suffered a major injury. But in terms of Boston, Miami, Indiana, that's a hard one to pick, which one doesn't get out of there. Because, you know, Miami's been the undervalued commodity there. You know, the Celtics, and I'm with you on kind of believing in Boston, but not enough to get past the big two. You know, I just don't. And for as good as Brown and Tatum are, you know, I worry. And for as good, I mean, in a tight game late, I don't know, there's a lot of point guards that I would want more than Kemba, who is still to this day as underrated as it gets, you know. But it just, and the supporting cast is good. I mean, like, I'm not looking at Boston and seeing a very flawed team. I'm just not seeing a team that's as elite as the other teams they have to beat. And that means that they could be vulnerable early. They could be vulnerable to a team should they have to play them, like Miami or Indiana. But, right now it looks like they get Philly in the first round. That'd be a good matchup for them.
Yeah, they got to dig down. Boston's going to have to dig down deep. There's actually been quite a bit of movement. Like, normally, I mean, I'm not massive on talking about futures and stuff, but I know, because the Toronto Raptors have quickly gone from 24-1 at FanDuel over the last, let's say, 2 weeks or so, leading into the bubble and then, you know, game by game. And you know, Teddy, you and I have talked about this in the past. The amount of influence that the media can have as well, right? So, you know, the original narrative with the Raptors, oh, they don't have Kawhi Leonard, they're not going to be the same. And, you know, oh, they beat the Warriors because the Warriors got hurt and all that type of stuff. And then the season starts to go on. They still don't get a ton of credit. But right now, every website, everybody, you know, Barkley picked them the other night. You know, the cover of Sports Illustrated, SI.com, Siakam was on the front page. All the Raptors, maybe they're the team to beat and all this. I think the influence right now, or is it sharp money, Teddy? There are people saying, you know what, 24-1 is crazy. It's at 14-1 right now, but there's been a significant drop with the Raptors' futures over the last week and a half or so.
Yeah, so, I mean, the one thing that we're seeing is the markets are adjusting very quickly. When it comes to futures and the future book adjusting like that, I think it's both. I think that 24-1 was probably a silly number for Toronto. It was, and that certainly wasn't a global number because you will see these disparities from one book to the next. Significant disparities. So
no, you're right. I saw, you're right. Even when there was 24-1, Teddy, you're right. FanDuel at 24-1. I saw some other spots that it was 16-1. So it's only 14 now. You're right. And it hasn't been that massive of a drop. You're right.
Sure. But Toronto deserves to take money. But the narratives are happening quickly. The markets are moving quickly. And you brought up a really interesting point about the home court advantage for Toronto and Boston. We're about to have playoff series where there's no two games here, two games there, the odds switch.
Love it.
We're good.
Right, hold that thought, Teddy.
How the zigzag work's going to be fascinating.
We'll hit this on the other side. Sports Rage Late Night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
My name's Bobby and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Hey, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
All right, let's roll Sports Rage Late Night. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're throwing it down with the one and only Teddy Covers right now, sportsmemo.com. Follow him on Twitter, Teddy Covers, a.k.a. Ted Stavransky. Of course, he doesn't need an introduction. This is Sports Rage Late Night. So we're just talking about the neutral court, and then I just want to get a quick take, football take from Teddy before we let him off into the desert night in Las Vegas at Nevada. So, you know, as we mentioned, so neutral court, and it's interesting, Teddy, talking about the Lakers' troubles a little bit. It's a different dynamic for everybody right now. It's a different dynamic for everybody. They're not used. These players aren't used to living in a bubble together. You know what I mean? Like, suddenly, you know, like, a lot of times, like, it's one thing to get along, Teddy, and play the game and in the room after and, all right, yo, good game. And, you know, I'll see it. Maybe they'll run into each other at a club or something like that. They're all on the same damn hotel floor, bro. Right? There's no escaping anything. Right? So it's interesting, too. Once the playoffs start, Teddy, and we're seeing this in the NHL right now, in which there's no rest. Like, there's no, like, you know what I mean? LeBron normally plays on Tuesday, and then he plays on Sunday. They're going to be playing every 2 days once the playoffs start. So if things are going bad for a team, you don't get that 4 days off. You don't get that, all right, listen, everyone chill. We're going back home. We're going to be back home. We're going to win those 2 games at home. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to worry. We'll go back on the road. We just got to steal one. Basically, what I'm saying, Teddy, you can't escape who you are and your problems in a bubble.
So let me ask you this, Gabe, okay? Because, well, I mean, mostly the people you work with at Sports Grid, you like them, right? Mostly?
Mostly. I'm not sure if they love me. Yang right now is getting a laugh out of this.
Yeah. But you like them mostly. All right. Yes. So now, let's say, instead of working with them, you're living with them.
No, I don't. I don't like them that much. No. I don't want to live on a hotel with them for 92 days.
You know, so instead of the guys you work with, now you're working with them and living with them. And again, the first couple of weeks, okay, you know.
Yeah.
When you start to get 6 weeks in and you're down 0-2 in a series, you know what I mean? This is my theoretical take of how I'm going to approach the playoffs. I'll tell you flat out. I'm looking before every series starts, and I say, is this a sweep series or is this a zigzag series? And the sweep series, I'm going to bet the same team every game. And the zigzag series, I'm going to bet whoever lost last game the next game. I'm going to literally try to make those determinations before the series starts. And we'll see how it plays out.
See, because I'm thinking
of the That's my theoretical way to approach it.
I'm thinking the zigzag theory is almost like irrelevant now, almost. Like, it's almost taken away from us. One thing I find fascinating, I don't know if you bet on any of the pucks at all, Teddy, the NHL playoffs, but what's amazing with these series is there's no line movement, bro. No line changes game by game. You know what I mean? So, like, if you like an angle, Teddy.
Sure, yeah, sure. I mean,
if you like an underdog type of thing, and you're like, you know what? This team that gets +4 every night, they're better. They're going to win, right? It doesn't change because there's no, you know what I mean? There's no home court. There's no home ice. There's no road ice. The power rankings are set for the neutral court. So I find it fascinating. Like, a good example is, Teddy, the Montreal Canadiens and Pittsburgh Penguins, okay? They played 3 games. The Canadiens have won 2 of them. Every damn game, the Canadiens are +150. They don't change the number. And the Canadians have won 2 out of 3 games. And here they are, 150 again for game 4. And it's like, you know what? They're the better team. They're looking like the better team. And they keep on giving them, like they, if the Canadians would have went back home, they wouldn't be +150. So I'm almost finding there's value in these hubs and bubbles, if I'm explaining myself properly.
You're finding a great, but in hockey, I think it's going to play like that. I don't think it's going to play like that in the NBA. And zigzag is a betting theory.
Are they going to move the numbers?
Zigzag is a study.
Will they move the numbers in here? Like, will they move the numbers, Teddy, in the NBA? Like, do you think?
Yes.
Like, so let's say the Raptors are -8 game 1 versus the Orlando Magic, and then they win by 16. Are they going to be -10.5 again, or are they just going to be 8 again? Is it going to be 8 for the 4 games? You know what I mean?
So what we're going to see is not, because it may not be in the first round, all right, with the Raptors Magic series, where we could see 8, 9, 7.5, 9.5. And Toronto sweeps 1, 2, 3, 4. I could totally see, like, in that limited range. But when we start talking about the good teams in the NBA, look at Milwaukee off a loss this year and last. Look at Toronto off a loss this year and last. Look at Boston off a loss this year and last. I'm not kidding. Look at Miami. All four of those teams, I would say, off the top of my head, if you bet on those four teams, ATS, this year off a loss, you're 75%. And I might be short. You go in the West, you look at the Clippers off a loss. You look at the Lakers off a loss. You look at the Nuggets off a loss. It's the same story. So when you talk about the elite teams, when they lose, you better believe there's going to be a point spread tax on them the next time. And we will see the games that are lined at one for, you know, so-and-so minus one game one, and then they'll be minus 3.5 game two because they lost game one. And then they're going to win game two, and they'll be plus one for game three because they won game two. We're going to see that type of movement in the series that are competitive, just not in the blowout series, not in the, you know, Toronto versus Orlando, and maybe the Magic can win a game or two.
That was some deep, like, university calculus stuff. Going to be linemen in game two because they won game one, and in game three because game two. It's like people.
It's late at night for that. I understand. I'm sorry, guys.
That was some good stuff. That's the promo right there, Yang. Cut that up. I like that. Gambling 101. People are going to be like, somebody that just doesn't know anything. Somebody doesn't know anything about gambling tuning in, they're going to be like, man, these guys are really good. Like, they're talking like, wow, they're like professors. And right now, there's a bunch of, like, wise asses that think they know everything, thinking these guys are idiots talking about change of this and point one, game one, game two, right? And I find it fascinating. In hockey, like I said, it's been a great advantage, especially if you like the underdogs. All right, Teddy, so listen, time always flies by in a couple of minutes here. College football. I've been, you know, normally now I've already gone through my Mark Lawrence playbook and Phil Steele, and I'm ready to go. I am not this year because I've been apprehensive about what's going to happen. But it appears as though everything's falling into place right now, or at least their attempts. The Big Ten comes up September the 3rd, conference games only. I believe the ACC is what, September the 10th? I thought it was September the 7th, but I think it's September the 10th. So the ACC, SEC Pac-12 goes September the 26th. So it seems like there will be some college football. Are you optimistic? Because it's one thing that they want to do it or they plan on doing it. Will they be able to pull it off? And what's your take on this? Because to me, it looks like, well, I better start studying up on the Big Ten, man. September the 3rd is not all that far away.
Sure, but what you're saying, you better not be reading the guides that were printed 3 months ago.
Yeah, that's a problem, isn't it?
You know what I mean? It's
now don't you got this protest stuff going on.
It
too,
will like, hurt you more than it will help you.
Yeah.
If you're gonna do your research on college football, and now's the time to do it, you know, Google News is a powerful source. And while I have nothing but respect for Mark Lawrence, I have nothing but respect for Phil Steele, I have nothing but respect for those football periodicals, I want no part of them this year
they did
more than any year. Right. Now,
hey,
and, if you ask me, this is what we knew it already, but this has shown it more than anything else. College football, there's no one out there to cancel it. All right, the NCAA can cancel the NCAA tournament. That's what they run. All right, that's their moneymaker. That's their source. College football is all about the individual conferences. They run everything, and the bowl games are run by the bowl people.
And even Mark Emmert.
They don't have the influence.
And so even Mark Emmert, who I think is a lowlife.
Making their own call. No one's in charge.
You're right. And, you know, the NCAA, who I think is as low as you get, even they were like, listen,
guys. Lower than that.
Yeah. Even they told the commissioners, they were like, listen, we don't know if this is a good idea about college football. And you're right. They basically ran them over in the parking lot. They were like, yeah, well, we don't give a crap what you say. That's what they told. Like, you knew this day was coming one day. And they basically told the NCAA, whatever, blow me. And they said, you can't do anything about it. And now, Teddy, I'm hearing these Power Five guys are already planning their own playoff if the NCAA doesn't want to, like, help them at all. They're like, whatever, we'll do this without you. And we're seeing this. It's, you know, college basketball is another story. NCAA has more power over college basketball. As you stated, it's their tournament.
Oh, yeah. It's night and day.
Different entity. Yeah, different entity. You're right. But college football. And also you're seeing that, you know, we always knew that it was monetary, but to me, it's pretty ugly stuff. And, you know, we're hearing some of the stories. Some of it was denied about Colorado State. Basically that they.
Oh, yeah.
They're covering up COVID tests and like, it's ugly stuff. Like they're threatening people. If you get COVID and you tell anybody, they're like, if you get COVID, we're not going to get mad and you're not going to lose your spot. But if you tell anybody you got it, you know, we're going to take your scholarship. Like, dude, it's getting ugly. And look, the Pac-12 kids are about to revolt. Now the Big Ten players just signed the same thing. Like I said, just because a bunch of white guys in suits said to these kids they're playing, we're not there yet, Teddy. Like, I'm not fully all the way there yet, personally. I'm just saying I better start studying a bit.
Yeah, and that's the truth of it. It's, look, for me, the priority has been I did my NFL work early. I was confident there'd be some NFL. I've done nothing but NBA work and MLB work since those two have come back. And college football, yeah, I looked at it. I mean, I did do my preliminary conference one through in early July. But normally at this stage, I would have much more done in college football. But I haven't wanted it because from a time, you know, from a valuing time perspective, there's a decent chance we're not. I mean, remember, in the NFL, they're getting paid. In college, they're not. In the NFL, they go home to these, you know, beautiful houses in the suburbs and isolate. In college, you go to the dorm and you party. Okay?
Look at the kid in Miami today.
No way that.
Top 10 picks. Said, yeah,
well,
I'm
there's going to be outbreaks. There's going to be outbreaks everywhere once campus is open. There's really no way around that. It's just a matter of how much are people willing to take. And in baseball, we've seen it, Gabe. They were willing to take multiple outbreaks. And the baseball took the punch and took a second punch. And they're like, okay, they figured it out. When college football teams start dropping, they may not be easy for them to take that punch. You understand?
Yeah.
When we get the outbreaks. But Clemson's already had one. Alabama's already had one. It was fine. Go on. Go about your business. So, I mean, maybe... maybe we will. The college programs will be able to take the punches and we'll be having a college football season that, not normal, but that goes all year and into bowl games.
The thing is, you have to remember, they don't care about killing kids when there's not a pandemic. Like, death is not so. It's not like even if somebody dies, they're going to lose sleep over it. They don't care. They just don't care. Right, Teddy, we got less than 30 seconds on the way out here, but thanks for joining us this evening. It's great stuff. As always, I'm having a special show Sunday night, as it happens to be. I'm joining the Sterling Club. So when I come back to Vegas, I hope I still can get everything for $5 at the Palms. Cause that was the deal years ago. once you got there. But great catching up with you, Teddy. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure, Gabe. Palms isn't reopening.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
All right, level one. Winds down as usual. The fastest 120 minutes in sports continues. This is Sports Rage Late Night. I am Morenci. Thanks to Teddy Covers for joining us. SportsMemo.com. You can find Teddy. Of course, you can find him on Twitter, Teddy Covers. Big man on campus will join us in level two. So today was the opt-out day in the National Football League, except whatever, man, opt-out day. The National Football League owners are scumbags and, you know, they want to put pressure on the players not to tap out. And, you know, so does it really matter, though, if you opt out or not? Because if everything falls apart, everybody's going to be opting. Like, the whole league will be opting out. Like, the owner's going to be opting out. Like, if things go bad, it's going to get shut down anyways. So, like, honestly, I get it. Like, if I was a player and even if I had my reservations about playing, I would show up and just sort of take it as it goes and see what the, you know, how is it going. There weren't really any major big time players. A big time player that came close to opting out, but he decided not to. And I'm glad that he decided to play despite the fact that a bunch of loser jackass trolls started to go at him on Twitter. And I'm talking about Trey White of the Buffalo Bills. One of the best defensive backs in the National Football League, really is one of the best cornerbacks in the league. And, of course, so he actually talked about his decision on Twitter. He was like, you know, he made it known. I'm not sure. Maybe I might opt out. I might not. I don't know. I'm thinking about it. And then, of course, so-called Bills fans started tweeting him. And I was thinking, you guys aren't going to make it any better by, like, exposing yourselves for being the losers that you are. So Tre'Davious had to tweet, crazy to me that choosing my family's well-being over a game comes with so-called fans attacking and questioning me and saying I'm selfish. No, you guys are selfish. We're thinking that football is bigger than life. Oh, by the way, my girl's grandfather passed away from COVID. You all understand now? And some people still don't. Like honestly, like, fan, is there anything worse than a sports fan? As I say this to a bunch of sports fans, but there really isn't. We're just lowlives. It's true. Lowlives.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.